This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Welcome to Over the Influence. It is fantastic to have you listening. My name is Sharon Hartley. I am 46 years old. I live in Lancashire, which is in the northwest of England. Used to be a daily drinker and decided to change my relationship completely with alcohol. With me is Freddie.
I'm Freddie. I'm 37. I am formerly Funtime Freddie, the stressed corporate worker, hardcore party boy who is now pretty much celebrating a year alcohol free. I'm a father, I'm a husband, and I am the person who was least likely to ever stop drinking if you'd asked me just over a year ago. But I made that choice, I changed my life, and now I'm trying and sometimes failing to make my dreams come true.
And it's not just myself and Freddie, we've also got Background Ben joining us on the podcast today. Hello, Background Ben.
Hi, Background Ben, because
Ben, just before we move on, it's the year 2020. Tell us what you're doing for this year.
So, unlike you guys, I haven't given up drinking completely, but I am cutting down dramatically. So I've chosen 20 days this year where I can have a drink.
Here we are, episode 2 of Over the Influence, and we're going to call this episode Mind the Gap, Freddie. Mind the Gap. What does that mean?
When you first stop drinking alcohol, you do find you've got lots more time on your hands, you've got this new lease of life, you've got more energy, you've got more focus. But what the hell do you do with that? Because if you don't fill that gap with something, that's when the temptation starts to rear its ugly little head.
I think it's fair to say there are some really clear-cut gaps that appear, aren't there? Particularly in the really early days. And in this episode, we really want to focus on those trigger points, those gaps that might appear when you would normally have a drink, when you're socialising or when you're at home. And we're going to look at the physical and emotional benefits of avoiding alcohol.
Yep, it's not just about thigh gaps. It'd be very easy just to talk about all these brilliant physical benefits that we all know. Like, it's not really a newsflash that alcohol has got calories in it, and if you stop drinking alcohol, you take on less calories. I am the proud owner of a thigh gap. Yes, it does. It does appeal to men
really?
As well. Yep, it's not just a female thing. My thighs used to rub together like a couple of mating seals, but now I've actually got a thigh gap and I've actually started not spending all my time in pubs, but actually doing some exercise. But you're absolutely right, Shazza. We're not going to be starting talking about running ultra marathons and hanging out in the gym all day long. It's so much about the emotional benefits and all this time that you've got on your hands and how best to fill that. And no matter whether you're young or old, rich or poor, fit or unfit, there is so much time that it can give you with this new lease of life, but you do have to fill it some way. And that's what we're going to go through today. So now, as I've clearly said, that I'm an expert in all types of gaps, but Shazza, what do we really mean by the gap?
I think one of the key things about the gap, it's time. So when you're not drinking, you know, the kids go to bed or whatever, then it's your time, isn't it? It's wine o'clock, it's all this. When you've not got that bottle of wine to open and you're not sitting on the settee scrolling Facebook for hours with a glass of wine in your hand, it's what you do during those early days, I think. I think it's fair to say this doesn't last forever, those gaps, because the whole journey changes. But I think in the early days, it's really key to find ways of plugging the gap, not falling down it.
Totally agree with that. And, you know, I, being conservative, I would get pretty smashed once a week. So let's say that's one day a week lost to a hangover.
Yeah.
So in a year, that's around, let's call it 50 days. Again, that's being pretty conservative for me. So I've lost 50 days a year. So then you start adding those years up. I mean, what I was drinking for 18, 20 years, adding all those. So I was literally, I've lost years of my life to hangovers. And I decided that I didn't want to lose that time anymore. By not drinking, I could literally not add years to my life in terms of the health benefits, but actually in terms of my time. And that's why I started doing things like extreme ironing. Like, yep, it's actually a thing. So I, we used to have your drinking marathons, and now I'd be like, right, bang, kids' school uniform, done.
All over it.
Yeah, work shirts, done, all these sorts of things. And I remember actually it was a night out that we had, and Ben, you were there in Liverpool last summer, and yeah, everyone was getting on it. It was a, you know, one of those amazing warm Saturday nights when the sun's shining, and it feels like the whole world is out in a beer garden. And I was suffering. I'd had all those alcohol-free beers and the dealing with the pubs that didn't really have a good selection. And I was climbing the walls, and I thought, right, Saturday night, I'm going to just get in a taxi, get myself home. And then I cleaned the house. So being the guy that was, you know, at 11 o'clock at night, I'd be really getting into my groove when I was drinking. I'd be, you know, at the front of the nightclub and dancing on the tables. I was mopping the floors and doing the windows and thinking, well, you know, those curtains really need a dusting. And I was like, what has happened to me? I'm 37 years old. It's Saturday night. And I was pretty pissed off, to be honest. I was like, what has my life become? I've said no to all this fun, and I've gone home and I've cleaned the house. But you know what? On that Sunday morning, waking up to a clean house, bonus, and also to having a clear head, I was like, you know what? It is actually all worth it. And you can do this amazing stuff, or this really crappy, mundane house cleaning stuff with your time. But you've got that control back. Your time is your own once again. Your time isn't handcuffed alcohol. Yeah. You can just do what you want and make those things happen.
And I think as well, it's fair to say my mantra has been throughout the 17 months I've been doing this is do something different. Try something you've never done before. I mean, I'm not going to go down, you know, take up jigsaws or crocheting or whatever, but we know people, don't we, that have they've started learning another language,
yep,
taken up exercise. I started doing park runs on a Saturday morning. Park runs start at 9 o'clock. They were joyous. Just being up and about, you know, because you're not feeling the effects of the Friday night before. Doing things you wouldn't normally do. A big one for me, Freddie, and I don't know if this is the same for you, making new friends, sober friends, mixing in sober circles. If somebody had said to me a couple of years back, Sharon, you'll enjoy mixing with a sober crowd, people who, you know, have a similar mindset to you, I would have laughed and I've said, pour me another large rosé, please. Not a chance. It'll be boring. It'll be dull. It's been amazing. And it's about maybe doing things that push you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, things you wouldn't normally have tried in the past. We hosted an event, didn't we, a couple of weeks back?
Absolutely. Like that Manchester event that we ran, and that was just getting a bunch of people together in a pub, ironically. There's something a bit crazy. We, you know, we gathered 50 people around. We were all queued up outside a pub at 11 o'clock in the morning, which is could be seen as a bit of a risk, but we thought no, because we've got this confidence. We're not hiding away in a dark cellar trying to get people into a sect or something.
Yeah.
It's about saying we're still doing awesome stuff.
You can still socialize. Yeah. You can still have fun. You know, that event in particular for me was it was so important, because what it showed, that was so many people like us in the same boat that just wanted to get together, socialize, and have a chat with no alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the whole something you said around the comfort zone, I know it's big in our society at the moment. I mean, you go on LinkedIn or Facebook or YouTube and everyone's saying, smash your comfort zone, do something different. You've got your David Goggins and everyone's who's an ex-special forces person saying like, yeah, do this extreme stuff. And I think that's great. It's really inspirational. But for a lot of people out there, they can't relate to it because they say, well, yeah, I know that these people can go and run up Everest and swim across oceans and all these sorts of things, but we can all step out of our comfort zone just by doing something that feels a bit different to us.
Yeah.
So for someone else, that might just be, as you say, starting to read new books or to take up a new language or learn an instrument or just go to an event that they wouldn't normally go to or that they wouldn't normally go to without, as I used to do, you know, a couple of confidence sharpeners in the kitchen at home before you go and do it.
I think it's really important to say as well, fill in that gap. It doesn't have to be extreme, does it? It can be the most mundane thing. For me, in the really early days, I felt wrecked and I just wanted to sleep. So sometimes, you know, particularly 9 o'clock at night when I would have normally been drinking the wine, I just went to bed and had the most glorious sleep. So it, keeping it simple a lot of the time, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's about having that strength to actually do what you want. And I I found weirdly guilty sometimes, especially when I was drinking, because, you know, you'd have some drinks and then you wouldn't be feeling 100%. And you'd almost be like, well, I can't afford to go and treat myself to a health spa, or I can't afford to go and buy that jumper. Because for some reason, you know, say that you want to buy some new shoes, and I'm being very metrosexual, by the way, here, talking about my buying shoes and health spas.
And your thigh gap.
Yeah, and my thigh gap. I really am the new age man, aren't I? But although, you know, I used to be like, right, I want to buy a new pair of trainers, but oh, that's £100. I can't treat myself to that. But go on a night out when you're getting the drinks in, and £100 would just disappear sometimes. Yeah, exactly. But now you say, well, I've got this new lease of life. My bank balance, as we talked about in the previous episode, that's looking a bit healthier. You know, I'm back up to zero, which is always a bonus. And you can actually treat yourself and give yourself a reward, because you have to remember every day you are doing something bold. You are doing something different. And you know what? In our society, you are being a rebel, because society is all around drinking. And I'm not saying that's bad, because plenty of people can enjoy a drink. And you know what? Good luck to them.
Absolutely.
Well done. Have one for me. But for so many of us that are wanting to do something different, it is about being a rebel. It is about moving away from the crowd. It is about being a wolf and not a sheep. And then you should recognize that you are doing something really bloody brave, and that you should reward yourself. And if that means having a lie-in, or, you know, Netflix binge or something else, or just going to the park with your kids, then absolutely, why not do it?
When I hit my 365 days with no alcohol, I really wanted to treat myself. So I booked a night in a swanky hotel in the Lake District.
Nice.
I hired a boat by myself on Windermere. It was joyous. And
did you actually not drive it yourself? Like sail
it
yourself?
I didn't sail it. It was a motorboat, and I was terrified. But it's what I wanted to do, and it was my little treat to myself. And I think it's so important to do that. Mm. You know, there's a lot of perception that when you remove alcohol from your life, that you are in some ways missing out. Mm. You know, life's not going to be as good. Well, if you don't drink, you couldn't possibly enjoy that. For me, it's been key just to treat myself along the way. A spa day here and there. I've been to the spa with my mum and my daughter. When I've been there in the past, I've only ever gone with friends to get sloshed, you know, completely missing the point. But giving up alcohol, I've done the same things and actually probably enjoyed them even more.
Yeah.
So I do think that treating yourself along the way and filling those gaps with things that make you happy is really, really important for you. Well, for your mental well-being, if anything.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one thing I did, well, I guess a couple of things that changed for me. So I did see some physical benefits, as we said. You know, the thigh gap amazingly appeared.
I need to talk to you about this in far more depth, because I still don't have one, Freddie.
Really? Well, how do we go from there?
I need your top tips. Move on.
Well, I started doing a bit of exercise, and I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to run a marathon. And then I ran an ultra marathon, and then I did an Ironman. And this is, you know, we've all got those friends and they're very sporty, and you can just look at them and say, right, you do CrossFit or you do Ironman races, and you usually realise, because they talk about it non-stop every single time you see them. So it's not going to be about that. But I did do these physical challenges. I broke a world record. I became the world's fastest fisherman, which
ridiculous.
I'm still...
ridiculous.
So yeah, I did run a marathon dressed as a fisherman in massive rubber welly boots. And you know, I hopefully raised some money for a local children's charity, but it was about showing kids that you can do anything you set your mind to. And I obviously, you know, these were a bunch of 5-year-olds, so I didn't go in there and talk about the all-nighters in Vegas or the Ibiza clubs or that sort of thing, because that would have terrified them and inspired them in a different way. But it is all about growing up. I wasn't, you know, particularly fit. I wasn't fast. I was asthmatic. I was the slowest kid in my class. But once I started to get this alcohol-free confidence, so I thought, well, you know, if I can give up drinking for a long period of time, then why can't I go and break a world record? Why can't I do an Ironman, never having done a triathlon before? So there are those physical benefits, but it's not, you know, I don't want to start being one of those podcasts where you bang on about crazy exercise. You know, I wrote a book, and
brilliant.
That was, I just sat down one day and I thought, I'm going to write a book about my experiences to try and help people. And I would have never have thought about that. And on a practical note, I could never have done it because I'd always be, you know, either drinking or hungover. Yeah. And you have that lack of motivation when you wake up in the morning and you think, I just can't be asked. I'm going to sit on the sofa. But with that more focus and energy, you could do all these things. As like I say, with park runs, I took my kids to a junior park run on Sunday mornings. They moaned the whole bloody way around. When you're there saying, come on, kids, I'm more present now. Like, look at me. I'm present. Yeah. I'm engaged.
They don't care.
Like, look at my love for you. Look at my clean, sober love. And they're like, Daddy, shut up. I want to go and watch Peppa Pig. Why the hell am I standing here in this like cold, wet, rainy park? So I dragged them around it. But I would have never have done that if I was lying on the sofa with a hangover. I would have just said, yeah, let's go next week. Go and play on an iPad or something.
I think to pick up on something you just mentioned there, it's about the alcohol-free confidence and trying these new things. You don't know where it's going to go. Just mentioning park run there, when I stopped drinking, I started doing a little bit of running on a Saturday morning because I was, you know, feeling fresh at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning. I kept going. I didn't give in. And now I'm in training for the London Marathon. That would not have happened at all if I'd still be drinking. So you just don't know where it's going to go. You know, every little step you take, it does sort of build up those alcohol-free superpowers.
Yeah.
It's quite incredible. But I think you've just got to be brave. And in trying those different things, it can be very, very surprising.
Well, it's like, you know, Ben, you're straddling the gap, which again presents a bit of an image, but like I say, you're not going, right, this is all or nothing. It's about getting that balance in your life.
Yeah, I think for me there were some things coming up this year that I didn't want to straddle. I looked at myself honestly and said, can I really do a full year without alcohol? And I thought, actually, if I went for that straight away, I'd probably fall at the first hurdle because it would feel like too big a thing to overcome. Yeah. So by easing my way into it, I think that will give me a healthier relationship with alcohol in general.
But I think, if you don't mind me jumping in, Ben, talking to you earlier, you've done two occasions now out of your 20, is that right? Alcohol-free.
Yeah.
You've already said that you're feeling the benefits and you're already seeing changes in the amount you drink because of that.
When I thought I'd go back, because it was a beer tasting in London for a mate's wedding, the first one, I thought I'd get absolutely smashed. I did. It was the second one where, because I hadn't been drinking for about a month, I drank much more slowly than I was drinking real beer.
So already you're seeing the benefits.
And I also then decided to, because I remember we went out, it was me and my girlfriend, we went out in the afternoon. We then got home and I bought some San Miguel's on the way back. I said, oh, this is my drinking day. And if I had one, and then I cracked open the alcohol freeze.
There you go.
I didn't want to.
Exactly.
My feeling, actually.
So, that's amazing. We're just taking a quick break from episode 2 of Over the Influence. We do hope you're enjoying it. We know there are at least half a dozen people that have enjoyed the first episode, if not many, many, many more. And it's so important for us to say hello and, most importantly, thank you. You've been to the website and you have very, very kindly bought us a brew or an alcohol-free beer, clicked on that button and given us a donation. Thank you so much. Harvey, thank you to you. Harvey said he loved it and he can't wait for the next ones. We can't wait to have you on board, Harvey. Really kind of you. The man in the aubergine mask. Who is this mysterious person? Have a coffee each on me. Thank you so much, mystery aubergine mask man. Sarah, thank you to you for buying us an alcohol-free beer. Andy Delderfield, awesome first podcast. He said he's as proud as punch. We hope that's an alcohol-free punch, Andy. We know you're in lockdown in Spain at the moment, so we send our love, we send our best wishes. Stay at home and stay safe. Thank you also to Vegas Al. He bought us a coffee. And another mysterious person, somebody,
We don't know who this person is. Somebody bought us a coffee. Thank you so much. And finally, last but by no means least, Gemma Ray. Thank you, Gemma. You took the trouble to listen, first of all. Thank you. And then went onto the website and clicked the big blue button. And I believe you were listening to our podcast as you cleaned the bathroom in your pants. A delightful image. Gemma, thank you. Thank you all so much. If you'd like to buy us an alcohol-free beer or a coffee, virtually, of course, and just contribute in a small way towards this podcast, it will be hugely appreciated. As you know, listening to podcasts is free. There are some production costs behind them with regards to marketing, equipment, that sort of thing. Anything you might be able to donate would be hugely appreciated by all of us here at Over the Influence. So thank you so much.
Absolutely brilliant.
Right, let's get back to the episode.
So we've talked about some of the obvious ways you can fill the gap when it's sort of in your control. Maybe, you know, you're at home. I'm going to do this tonight. I'm going to do that tonight. I'm not going to go to that social occasion. But that isn't real life, is it? And quite often when you are still trying to live life as best you can and having as much fun as you would have in the past, sometimes it can really just creep up on you and a gap can simply bite you on the arse. And you need to be prepared, don't you, Freddie, for those moments where you think, I've got this, I'm in control, I'm not drinking. What about that time when somebody comes up to you and says, oh, there was no alcohol-free options at the bar, I got you this. Or you think, I might just cave and yeah, go on then, I'll have a wine instead. What did you do in those situations?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. They were the most riskiest for me. And we talked in the previous episode about how, you know, these big, scary events like the weddings or the birthdays or the Christmas or anniversary, for me, the biggest dangers when I was most likely to drink was when the neighbour comes around with a pack of beers and saying, right, you know, let's just have one, the football's on, or you bump into a friend in the street and they're like, oh, let's just go for a quick one in the pub. That is the ambush when your mind isn't thinking about not drinking and just when it comes at you from the blind side. For me, it was difficult. It was really difficult. And it was about, you know, your mind gets scrambled because you're thinking about something
else.
Now all
of
a sudden, no, definitely not. And so for me, I had to try. It's almost like a reflex where you have to start saying, oh, I'm not drinking, but, or come up with different excuses. But I think it's about having your story straight. And it's a really corporate word in terms of like your elevator pitch. But I had that for me, and you have to have that ready to go. So if someone says, well, why aren't you drinking? And if you're there going, well, there's this thing and,
well, go on,
oh,
then,
okay,
just,
go
just
on
have
then.
One.
Yeah,
just have one.
Just have one. And my biggest dangers, and it's almost friends. I don't mean that against my friends in a bad way, but again, the times where I tried to stop drinking and failed, I had my friends say to me, but you don't have a drink problem. You're absolutely fine. Go on. And I'd be like, oh yeah, actually, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Because you said I'm fine. I'm going to use that as an excuse to have a drink. So having that elevator pitch of, look, I'm not drinking right now because, you know, if you want to be all self-help guru, because I want to live my best life, baby. Or you can just say, look, I'm trying to save some money, or I'm trying to get a bit healthier, or I've got this. Or you can say, look, I'm trying to write this book at the moment, or I've got this thing with my kids. But having that excuse, there's an interesting power of the word because. But if you say to people, oh no, I'm not drinking at the moment, then you're leaving yourself open for ambush.
Yeah.
But if you say, I'm not drinking because, and apparently something happens in our brains where you sort of accept that. The research shows, again, I'm not a researcher or a professor, as is probably very clear by now, but it's if you say because, then you're actually giving a reason behind it. It doesn't really matter what that reason is, but if you say, I'm not drinking because I don't like to drink alcohol at the moment or anything else, then people start to say, oh, okay, and they back off. But
and
you
I
have
actually,
to have some sort of thing.
Sorry to interrupt you there. I think you've got to be quite bolshy as well on these occasions, and you've got to look, instead of looking for your excuses why to cave or why to give in or, you know, an excuse to drink, you've just got to remind yourself at these points of your reasons why you're doing this, which is what you've just said, because, and have the balls to say it, you know what, no, I'm not drinking because I'm done with it, because I'm bored with it, because I'm sick of wasting my time. And not be scared of saying that. No. And not be scared of people's reactions.
I could feel another Freddy phrase coming on.
Oh, go on.
I think background Ben might have to like have some sort of like klaxon alert sound. But one of my one of my biggest mantras that I've told myself from the start is, if you want to have the things you've never had before, you need to do the things you've never done before. And so I wanted this life that I'd never had before. So I knew I had to do something that I'd never, ever done before. And for me, that was giving up drinking. And once you have something like that in your mind, then you think, well, you know, it's difficult. It's, you know, have a beer with Dave you haven't seen for 6 months, or live the life of your dreams. Like, it's a tough one, but I think I'm going to try and live the life of my dreams. And I say, I know that sounds a bit grand and new age and everything, but it is giving yourself that reason. At the end of the day, if you're really going to lose friendships, and let's be, I have lost friendships by not drinking, then you have to say to yourself, then they weren't real friendships. And that is so difficult for me, who put so much value and emphasis on being social and having a big, loud, large group of friends. But if you're willing to make that change and potentially say, look, without being too great a showman, this is me, then, you know, it is about making a positive change in your life and being prepared to potentially, you have to make a trade. You have to be prepared to lose some things in order to get some things that are so much more beneficial and can make your life so much better.
And I think it's really important to say as well that this doesn't last forever.
No.
Does it? You know, when you feel like you're fending off drinks on every occasion, every time you choose to remain alcohol free or to maybe not drink as much that night, it does set you up for the next occasion, and you do become stronger and you do care less what other people think.
Yeah.
And it does get easier.
Yeah. The gap does get smaller.
Definitely.
And in those first few days, the gap feels like the bloody Grand Canyon stretching
it's
out
terrifying.
In front of you. You're teetering on the edge and you're like, there is no way I can cross these things. But it's like, every alcohol-free day, you're building a little bridge, step by step, forwards and forwards. And that big, scary, crazy gap does get smaller. And I think that's why it's so important to, you know, to reach out to people who are also not drinking, to use websites like drydrinker.com to get this whole big range of alcohol-free drinks, to get these little things in place to try and make that gap less big and less scary, and then to help you cross it and reach the other side.
When I used to go out, Freddie, in my drinking days, before now, I've been known to take a gift, you know, in a gift bag. It was my own wine. If I was going somewhere really expensive, I would take my own drinks in. Shameful. Absolutely shameful. Now, I would have no qualms doing it with an alcohol-free option to make sure that I'm under no sort of risk of caving. And also, if you do cave, if you do have a couple of drinks, it's not the end of the world. Get back on the wagon.
Yeah.
And start again tomorrow. You know, we're not saying you must not ever drink again or you must not touch alcohol. Do what works for you and don't be scared. Thank you so much for joining us again. This was episode 2 of Over the Influence. Please do find us on social media and get in touch. You can find us on Instagram at alcoholfreepod, and please do contact us direct. We would love to hear from you. We'd love your ideas, your thoughts on the podcast, what you'd like us to talk about. Do send us an email, overtheinfluence@soundrebel.co.uk. And please, please, please give us a rating and a review on your podcast app.
Next week's episode is called The Shift. We're going to be talking about society and how mindsets all around the world are changing, and why this is the best time in the history of humanity to ditch the booze and get over the influence of alcohol.
The Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
Hi guys, I'm Ian, 370 something days alcohol free as of today. Love OTI, find the Zoom calls really useful. It's really important, I think, to surround yourself with people who get it. And I think that just realizing that, you know, you're normal and what you're doing is great is so important. Personally, I don't necessarily miss drinking, but I do sort of worry too much about what other people think, and I think therefore just to be able to sort of sound off with other people about how you feel about that and get a common sense response is just vital. So keep up the good work. I'll be staying close to everything that you do, and I'll speak to you all soon. Take care.
So if you want to join us, go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.